Lord's Sermon. Today we're going to talk about a bit of NFL football here. So our guest here today, first we have Editor-in-Chief Graham Pirro.
Hello.
Second, we've got Executive Opinion Editor Kevin Huggard.
How's it going?
And last but certainly not least, we have Halftime Sports Editor Jorge Deneve.
Hey everybody, how you doing?
Yeah, so we want to talk about the wild card round and divisional round of the NFL playoffs. First, we're going to start out with the Texans-Raiders game that took place on Saturday. This game was pretty ugly at the start, I think. First half was definitely not the prettiest. Storyline was definitely a lot of injuries for the Raiders. You know, they were coming into the playoffs pretty hot. They had MVP contender Derek Carr. He broke his leg on Christmas Eve. Their backup quarterback, Matt McGloin, he had a left shoulder injury. He was dressed for the game but didn't end up getting any time. Also, their offensive line, they had a couple of Pro Bowl offensive linemen go down with injuries as well. The Texans, you know, they had some quarterback trouble as well. Brock Osweiler played pretty much the whole season for them, but late in the season got a little sketchy, really wasn't playing that well. So they had Tom Savage play, and he got hurt. So we have Brock Osweiler came in, had a decent game. But tell me what you guys thought about this game. You know, what stood out to you?
Just a very – watching the Texans defense play is a lot of fun because they – especially Jadeveon Clowney, and the fact that they lost J.J. Watt and are still dominant, I think watching their defense play is very enjoyable. Watching their offense play, not so much. Brock Osweiler is a very – I think he's a competent game manager, and I don't necessarily think that they're paying him to be a game manager, but – they're winning, but I don't know how they're going to do this weekend.
Yeah, I think it was painfully obvious watching this game that Connor Cook was a third-string quarterback. it was ugly. You feel for the guy because it's his first career NFL start, and he comes in a big game in the playoffs, and he's really thrown in out of his depth. But, man, watching it, he really didn't belong on the field.
Yeah, it doesn't help that your first career starts against the number one ranked defense in the NFL, I think, in yards allowed. So, yeah, they're a lot of fun. Jadeveon Clowney finally looks like he's arrived. But, I mean, they're not going to do anything in the next round because they have to have an offense that at least keeps up with whatever team they're up against, and it turns out to be the Patriots. So have fun there. But it's really a non-factor for me. It's just kind of, well, what ifs for Oakland.
Yeah, I think you talk about Clowney. I think the play for me that stood out in this game when it was still a little bit competitive was when Clowney had that interception.
He picked off a screen pass.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
That was pretty impressive athleticism.
J.J. Watt, 2011, was it?
Yeah.
It's crazy that they did all that without Watt. He's been out, I think, since pretty early in the season. They haven't had him pretty much the whole season.
Yeah, basically the entire game.
Yeah,
but that was definitely an interesting game for sure. Really sucked for Connor Cook. They had to come out and go against the top defense in the league in his first start. That's a tough one. So let's move on to the Seahawks and the Lions. This was the late night game on Saturday. One stat that I heard on, I think it was the broadcast, that really stuck out to me, maybe it was on Twitter, I don't remember, was that the Lions didn't win an outdoor game all season coming into this game. They had 6 home wins and then away wins at Minnesota, New Orleans, and Indianapolis, all 3 of which have dome stadiums. So that was kind of crazy to me that the Lions, you know, hadn't done that at all. And the Seahawks came in, I think they were 7-1 at home into this game. So this was a tough one for the Lions to draw. Seahawks D, you know, they held the Lions to 231 yards total offense, 2 of 12 on third down. I mean, the Seahawks defense really dominated this game. What did you guys think of their performance?
I mean, it helps that Matt Stafford is playing with a broken hand. I don't think the Lions have won since he broke it. And also about the Lions not winning an outdoor game, they throw a lot, which kind of played into the hands of Seattle, who, truth be told, is a banged-up defense. So this was a good win for them, especially without Earl Thomas. Maybe they gain momentum off this because, I mean, after all, they still are Seattle and still have a dynamic quarterback. But it was a fairly simple game for them, one they should have won and did.
Yeah, I think the Lions are really the perfect offense for Seattle to play because they have a very good secondary. But I think that the turning point for the Lions was when Stafford hurt his finger, earlier in the season. There was a significant drop-off there. And I think when you have an offense that is as dependent on short passes and precision as the Lions do, when you go up against a very tough defense with a quarterback that's hand is hurting, outdoors where they're never good, this was kind of just a recipe for a big loss for the Lions. And I think this is probably a discussion for another time, but Stafford's production in the playoffs has been lacking, to say the least. And I think this is his seventh season, somewhere around there. So yeah, a lot of questions for the Lions going forward, I think.
Yeah, no, the Lions, as my brother is a diehard and long-suffering Lions fan.
You hate to see that.
The poor guy, he grew up in New England and he chose the Lions.
That's just a poor life decision.
But, you know, the Lions just don't offer much. There was a series of angry tweets and texts that took place after, if you guys remember when Paul Richardson made that catch on 4th and 2 in the end zone. Kind of reaching out.
Oh, yeah.
Good catch.
That was crazy. Yeah,
good catch. Incredible catch.
Impressive. There was a little bit of grabbing of the face mask with the other hand as it was in the air, you know, and there was some suggestions from the Lions supporting friends and family that I know that you know, the league is once again out to get the Lions. They have a bit of a complex about this. we try to tell them they're just terrible at football.
Yeah, it's hard for the league to be out against you when you've been awful.
Yeah, when was the last Lions playoff win?
91.
Okay.
Wow.
And I thought I read that the last away win was...
It was in like the 50s.
The 50s, yeah.
That's insane.
Was it, yeah, was it the 57 championship or something?
Something like that.
It was 1957.
The they've playoffs. Just been really bad for it's a crazy. Really long time.
They beat the Cleveland Browns, God bless.
Wow. Well, there's another franchise I didn't think of.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was a different hour.
So then let's move to Sunday's games. We had the 3-seeded Steelers host the Dolphins. And, you know, this is always a theme in playoff football, the weather, when Southern teams head up north and have to play there. You know, I think the wind chill was -2 degrees Fahrenheit. And in Miami this week, it was like 80. And I saw that the Dolphins were preparing by putting their footballs in the freezer to get them down to the temperature. So that's pretty crazy. But, I mean, yeah. And, you know, looking at, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, I know he's been a little banged up, but he only threw 18 times. Steelers were really carried by Le'Veon Bell, who had another monster game. He's been incredible all season. The Dolphins, another team, had to go with their backup quarterback. But Matt Moore has been all right. He's, probably not Tannehill's level, but he's been up there. He's been doing well. And their running attack pretty much got shut down. What did you guys think of this one?
I mean, I think Matt Moore actually had a better game than it seemed. He just had bad turnovers in bad places. I mean, getting stripped at the end of the half could have brought it within 7 on the Pittsburgh 7-yard line, getting stripped by James Harrison. And then the first 2 possessions of the second half, turning the ball over. And the game was never really close. I mean, it shows Ben Roethlisberger only had to throw the ball 18 times. I mean, the Steelers did not need him to win that game.
Yeah, watching this game, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown just are otherworldly. And I'm a big fan of Matt Moore. And watching him play, I thought he was better than I expected.
A lot better. He played well.
But there was that huge hit.
Oh, yeah.
I forget exactly when in the game it happened, but
it was sometime in the second quarter. It was the drive before he got stripped, but Bud Dupree, I thought, killed him.
Yeah, that was brutal. And for him to come back and after one play and finish the game and still play his heart out, I thought that was respectable. But it was pretty obvious, like you said, they didn't need Roethlisberger to win. I think if the Dolphins had somehow pulled closer, there was no way Roethlisberger was not going to win this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, this game was, you know, I agree with basically everything you guys have said. There wasn't much of a surprise here. I thought, you know, the Steelers were the better, much more dangerous team, especially on offense. And that's basically what happened. I think you can say that Miami isn't used to playing in those conditions, and it showed, and Pittsburgh definitely is. So, you know, I think we'll learn a little bit more about the Steelers in the next round.
Absolutely.
I would guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Steelers' D was good in that game. Jay Ajayi has been really good for the Dolphins, and they shut him down. 16 carries, just 33 yards. He really broke out, you know, the second half of the season, but, you know, didn't do much against the Steelers' defense.
Yeah, I mean, Ajayi's breakout game was against Pittsburgh earlier in the year. He exploded for 200 yards, and the Steelers' defense came in really pissed off about that. Yeah. Ryan Shazier had an incredible game. The nose tackle, Hargrave, played well. Timmons had a good game. They just were going to make sure that Ajayi didn't beat them again.
Yeah, they put the pressure on Moore, and he had 3 turnovers. So, I don't know. Their game plan worked. Last game, I think this was a 4 o'clock start on Sunday. We had the Packers taking down the Giants 38-13. Again, weather playing a factor. Under 20 degrees at Lambeau. It's always cold and raw there. But, you know, I saw Eli Manning won 2 playoff games at Lambeau. So, I don't know how much of an advantage that was. The Packers definitely led by Aaron Rodgers. He was incredible in this game, that huge the huge Hail Mary at the end of the first half. Eli Manning, decent game, not great, but you know, the storyline for this game was that picture of Odell Beckham and some other Giants players on a boat smoking some substance. Not sure what it was. yeah, and that was the storyline post-game press conference. Everyone was kind of coming at Odell for that. What did you guys see in this one?
It wasn't a close game. When you lose 38-13, a picture about a boat is not the difference in the game. This is Aaron Rodgers in his element. This is January. This is when he comes to play. You mentioned the Hail Mary, but the first touchdown he threw, where he danced around for about 9 seconds, then hit Davante Adams in the back of the end zone, I think that was the best touchdown of the game. I can't think of anyone who can really stop Rodgers right now when he's playing like this.
Yeah, there were 2 or 3 plays, maybe even more during this game, but 2 or 3 that I remember specifically where he looks like he dodged the entire defensive line, you know, stayed back there for, you know, upwards of 8 or 9 seconds before finding his receiver. There's not a secondary in the league that can cover for that long. So, I mean, when Rodgers is playing like this, especially at Lambeau, it's going to be real hard to stop.
Yeah, this game actually surprised me because my pick was the Giants going in, and I was horribly wrong. But
looked good, I thought, for 2 quarters.
Yeah, I mean, early on, it looked like this was going to be a very tight game. The Giants defense really shut down the Packers. What surprised me was, I think early on the Giants needed to score a lot while Green Bay's offense was doing nothing, and the drops, OBJ in the end zone. There was there was another
2 plays later.
Yeah, there was another Shepherd drop in the end zone. It was just miserable, and I think that was sort of the moment where you started to realize that Rodgers, you can only hold Rodgers down for so long, and they kept giving the ball back to the Packers offense, and it was only a matter of time. So I was actually surprised. I thought this game was going to be a lot closer. And it was for the first half until the Hail Mary, and I think that was the backbreaker.
Yeah.
And the Giants just had nothing in the second half.
Also, special teams, why are you grabbing the football at the 3?
Oh, when is it going to go out of bounds?
Why'd he do that?
I know, that was real bad.
The Giants just were not well coached. And I know Ben McAdoo's the first year, and it's impressive that he got to the playoffs, but he was not
good to fire Tom Coughlin. Sorry, what? It was a reflex. No, and I want to say, as a diehard Patriots fan, and I know I won't get much sympathy here, I was dancing on the grave of the Giants playoff hopes. So it made me very, very happy to see them knocked out.
Yeah. One play in this game that didn't get a lot of coverage, but I kind of want to talk about it a bit. I don't know if you guys remember, late in the fourth quarter, Ty Montgomery kind of went down awkwardly. I think he got hurt on the play, but there was like a fumble, and they called it that his forward progress was stopped, which is not a challengeable play.
Did they call forward progress?
Yeah, they called it his knee was down. Yes, okay. They didn't call it his knee was down, but it kind of looked like it could have been a fumble. And I was pretty surprised that whatever, I forget what channel this was on, probably Fox, didn't give that more coverage. They never showed it again, but it kind of looked like the ball was out. And that was a pretty big swing. Green Bay was up 24-13, and they ended up scoring a touchdown on that drive. So if that's a turnover, that would have been a big, big switch in the other direction.
Yeah, it would have.
Yeah, I thought it was at least borderline. It's one of those where maybe the network is just, you know, they know it's not going to get overturned.
Yeah.
It can't get reviewed, so they're just trying not to create any problems.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes the networks do that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So now let's, unless anyone has anything else, let's transition to the divisional round previews that are coming up this weekend. The first game, we have Seattle, which right now is sitting at 10-5-1, at Atlanta, who's at 11-5. That's going to be on Saturday at 4:35. Interesting. I think all 4 of these games actually happened already. Yeah, they're rematches of earlier games in the season. So in week 6, Seattle took down Atlanta 26-24. You know, this is going to be a good matchup. We've got the Falcons. They're a really good offense against the Seahawks, who always have that good defense, but missing a couple guys in the secondary.
Yeah, I think the difference here is going to be that Seattle doesn't have Earl Thomas, especially when you have a dynamic wide receiver who can go over the top like Julio Jones. Missing a safety is a big loss, and Seattle hasn't exactly done well on the road either. They have three pretty bad results, losing to the Rams, tying the Cardinals, losing to the Saints on the road. I just think that Atlanta has too much offense.
Yeah, it's going to be on the Seahawks' offense to keep them in this game, and I just think the Falcons' offense is way too good. If they slip up once, if the Seahawks slip up once or twice, the game's going to be out of reach. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good matchup. I hope it's better than the games we saw Wildcard Weekend. It has to be. but I just think the Falcons' offense is too good, and Seattle's going to have to really play very well on offense to keep up.
Yeah, this is not one I see the home team letting go of. I think given that the Seahawks defense isn't at 100% and they're missing a player like Thomas who is so crucial, I think it probably turns into a shootout. And with the way Matt Ryan's playing, I don't think
– you don't want to go up against Atlanta in
a shootout. I don't think Atlanta's going to lose a shootout at home. Yeah. So I think Falcons take this one.
Yeah, Seahawks are probably going to have to turn over the Falcons a couple of times, and that just hasn't happened all year. Atlanta's leading the league in giveaways, so they've only lost 11. Just kind of crazy through the whole season.
They don't give up the ball and they just score.
Yeah.
I mean, they're...
And the Seahawks are going to have to score too, which, I don't know. Looking at these results, 6 points, 3 points, that's kind of inconsistent.
I guess they struggle too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the late night Saturday game.
Can we skip this one?
Do we really need to talk about it?
Let's talk about it.
New England won 27-0 with Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say this one is – well, okay. I mean, a couple years ago, you know, there was a what's his name? Osweiler with the Broncos was dragged to a victory over the Patriots in the regular season by the number one defense in the league. But it's still ridiculous.
It's a better number one defense. But they still don't have a chance. And they had a couple weapons on offense.
Yeah, and they still don't have a chance. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it'll come down to the defense here. Like, if the Texans could hold up New England, maybe you give them a shot.
The Texans' defense needs to score points is what has to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to be like the Texans game against the Raiders where, you know, Osweiler can go 14, 25, 168 yards and win. I don't know. That's not going to happen. He's going to have to keep the ball, not turn it over. And New England's just insane. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, Clowney would have to get really far inside Brady's head for this to, just to be anything.
Yeah. So then we've got number three, Pittsburgh at number two, Kansas City. Again, a repeat of a game earlier in the season. Pittsburgh won that 43-14, but Kansas City is 10-2 since. Roethlisberger, I think in his post-game press conference, he had on like a boot, but that man's made a steal. You know he's going to play.
Yeah.
No question. How effective he'll be, I don't know. Kansas City, you know, their defense, really what to watch. They're leading the NFL in takeaways. What do you guys think of this one? I don't know. This might be the best game out of the four.
I think this is the most interesting matchup. Yeah.
It's going to be a toss-up.
Because I think the Steelers have obviously some incredible weapons on offense. And if they're, you know, at their best, there aren't many better offensive teams. Having said that, playing at Arrowhead in the playoffs may be the toughest. Up there with Lambeau and a couple other places, one of the tougher stadiums in the league to play.
It's tough to do. I question how much the Steelers actually need Ben Roethlisberger to play lights-out football. I think if Roethlisberger takes care of the ball, the Steelers have a very good chance. And, yeah, I think they can just ride Le'Veon Bell to a close win here.
Because the thing about the Chiefs is their defense lives on takeaways and interceptions because you got guys like Eric Berry making plays. But you can't get an interception if Le'Veon Bell is
right. If Le'Veon Bell is right, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the Steelers have the same game plan to keep the ball out of Roethlisberger's hands, just give it to Bell. If that doesn't work, screen it to Brown and let him do his thing. This is going to be another one of those games where the Chiefs' offense and Alex Smith really has to step up. And that's going to be interesting because Smith has a lot of regular season success. He's a very, very good game manager at quarterback. Mm-hmm. But the question is, can he make those plays to get the team to the next level? And he's going to have to against an offense as dynamic as Pittsburgh.
Yeah, for sure.
And don't count out a fluke Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, that is...
Just turn the game. He's one of those players who could just turn the game.
He's the guy that can change this for Kansas City in a hurry. So, yeah, the Steelers have to limit big plays if they want to have a chance in this one.
Yeah, you don't want to give that stadium a reason to be excited.
Just don't kick Dan. Yeah.
Do it, what was it,
Do what Clemson did. Just like, pop it up to the 30.
Take it to the 35 every time. Because that's a good strategy.
It worked.
Yeah, I know, right?
It did.
Like a Belichick strategy right there.
Oh, God. All right, so then we've got Green Bay heading to Dallas Sunday at 4. Week 6, these teams matched up. Dallas took down Green Bay 30-16. I don't know. Dallas is – I'm an Eagles fan, full disclosure, but I kept thinking that Dallas was going to implode at some point during the season, and it just never happened. So I don't know. What do you guys think of this one?
It's going to be a really good game. Yeah. This is probably the one that has the most unknowns and question marks because – Prescott played brilliantly this season, but it's his first playoff game. But he's at home at the same time, and he's going against Aaron Rodgers. And it's just – this is going to be a fun game. Yeah, I'm really, really excited to watch this.
Yeah. I think the Cowboys are going to rely heavily on Ezekiel Elliott to try and carry it. But he has 5 fumbles. So that's where I think if Elliott fumbles at the wrong time and the Packers end up 2 scores up, then it's on Prescott to try and throw and catch up. And I'm never going to bet against Aaron Rodgers in a dome. Yeah. Because he can just sling the ball.
If this turns into a shootout, I think the Packers win.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say this is a very, very different game than the week 6 game they played. Mm-hmm. I think the Packers are in a very different place.
Yeah.
And Rodgers is the quarterback. And I think it's also safe to say the Sunday games will be a lot more exciting than the Saturday games.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely something to watch, though. Jordy Nelson and Ty Montgomery were both listed as questionable, 2 of Green Bay's top offensive weapons. So, I don't know. I think Aaron Rodgers would still be able to, you know, have a good game. But
I mean, maybe Montgomery's an issue, but against the Giants, Jordy Nelson played a quarter and a half. Green Bay had 0 points. They scored 38 after he was out.
That was what was funny was once Nelson got injured, Rodgers just started going off. Yeah. Not that there's causation there, but it just it's fun, interesting.
He still has his weapons. Yeah. That's not going to hurt Rodgers.
He has enough. So on this podcast, you know, we love bold predictions. So I want one from everyone about this upcoming divisional round.
Okay.
All right. I'll go first because I've been stewing with this. So I'm going to go Texans hold Brady to less than 20 points, and they win on a late field goal.
Wow.
That's my prediction. That is my bold take.
I'm going to need a minute to recover.
Full disclosure, I'm a Jets fan. But I also admit that
you have oven mitts on right now. That is such a hot take.
I also can see that Brady is probably the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. But I still think.
I don't know if there's something with Kevin here.
Yeah. I know. But I don't know. I think the Texans, I think Lamar Miller takes the game over. They run the ball, short passes, keep the ball out of Brady's hands. And Jadeveon Clowney makes 2 sacks, 2.5 sacks, maybe. Mm. I don't know. That's my bold prediction. Probably wrong, but it's fun.
Yeah, I can see Clowney getting some sacks. The overall take, though, overall pick, it's bold. It's definitely bold. Jorge, you got something?
Yeah, I'm saying Atlanta wins by over 30 points.
Okay.
I see them putting up 50.
Wow.
Maybe even 60.
Oh, my
Lord. Oh, man.
Okay.
That's bold.
That is
bold. All right.
I see Atlanta scoring a lot.
No, I mean, I agree.
Okay.
I would have said, you know, 50 or 60 for the Patriots was bold. But I guess, you know, it's a much better defense they're playing.
All right, I'll go. I'm going to say that Green Bay beats Dallas by over 2 touchdowns.
I can get behind that.
I don't know if that's that bold, but, you know, I think the way Green Bay has been playing, they've just been ludicrous. And then Dallas, you know, their 2 best players, both rookies. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the moment gets to them. I don't know. I think Green Bay will take it, and I think they'll take it pretty handily.
I can see that. Yeah. I can definitely see that.
Interesting. I'm going to say that Belichick is going to Belichick and Brady are going to want to send a message. I'm going to go in a little bit different direction.
Just slightly,
I'm going to say they I think they hold Houston to under 5 points.
Is that really bold, though?
And I think the Patriots win by 45 or more.
How bold is that?
All right.
Like, really?
I think mine was bolder. I mean,
okay, I think the Lions are going to win the Super Bowl. I'm trying to be bold. If boldness is our only criteria.
Over under 200 points this wild card weekend.
Under.
I'm going to say over.
I'll go over.
Over, I think.
But the number of great offenses that are
important. Yeah.
I think Green Bay and Dallas ends up as a surprisingly low-scoring game.
Okay, that's bold. Yeah. There you go.
That's
a bold one.
Bold enough.
I'm glad I
bold enough. You have, you have our approval. Yeah,
Patriots winning big against a 9-7 team without really a quarterback is not really that bold.
He's patting myself on the back, not a take. I'm sorry.
So unless anyone has anything else, that will conclude our sermon for today. So just a quick plug for our Twitter and other social media. You can follow the Voice Sports at GU Voice Sports on Twitter, also at G-Town Voice and at Halftime GU. We can plug personal handles too if anyone's interested in the personal takes. I am at Nick Gavio.
Gotta get that brand out there. I am at Kevin Huggard.
I am at GL Hero 22.
Yeah. Tyler's still going to give me.
Yeah, Jorge still doesn't have a Twitter.
I'm holding out now.
Yeah, still.
I'm just to spite Tyler.
Yeah.
That's perfectly respectful.
Yeah, fine.
How are you going to be a proper narcissist?
All right. That concludes. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks.
Thank you.